Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real time all the way through the tournament. Head to the Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell this week. Eve bailed again.
Way to go, Eve.
No.
You had us excited and then just left us hanging again. It's fine.
Did he warn us?
See you next week, maybe, hopefully. Yeah.
Did he warn us last week that he was going to be in Chicago? Yes. Does it hurt any less? No. No. Especially Eve right now. I hope you're eating some deep dish pizza, or that you have some before you leave Chi-Town, because are you a deep dish fan, Justin?
No.
No, you're not.
New York slices all the way, maybe some Detroit every now and then, but deep dish ain't for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I like all pizza except for Hideaway pizza.
Wow. I don't know if that's acceptable, actually. How do you not like Hideaway?
God, it's not good. It is not good. And
but the thing is, it is good.
It's not so... the crust. If you have a good crust, like the good New York crust, you can't touch it. And Hideaway's crust is not good.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to disagree on a lot of things this podcast, and we're starting it off strong with some Hideaway pizza slander. Unbelievable.
I'm going to get a lot of hate for that, I am sure. But I feel like I have every right to be a pizza snob growing up in Philly, living in Boston, like frequenting New York growing up and all through my adulthood, making many, many trips to New York. I feel like I have been privileged to enjoy good East Coast pizza. And it's just the water. Like, I think I've told you, there's this place in OKC, Datto's Pizza. It's owned by an Oklahoma State alum. If you are in the Oklahoma City area, swing by Datto's Pizza. It's in a strip mall on North May. I don't know the exact location, but they went out and they bought a filter to filter their water with the New York minerals. So their crust is like using New York water, and it's the best pizza I've had in Oklahoma. And if you need good pizza, go to Datto's.
There you go.
Yeah. So Justin, you live in Oklahoma City. Go to Datto's.
I probably will have to do that pretty soon. That sounds pretty good.
And then come back to me and tell me Hideaway is good.
I probably will still do that because Hideaway is good.
It's not. It is not. So the Big 12 basketball tournament, they had food from all the different school, like, or like the towns of like the college towns of the Big 12 schools. And the food that represented Stillwater was the Orange Power Pizza from Hideaway. And the Big 12 like posted a picture on social media of like, here's the different foods from each school that represent each school. And I sent the picture to my family being like, this is why I insist on getting pizza every time that we are home. And my sister-in-law is like, that looks like a Danish.
I didn't see that picture. I don't know. That's interesting. Did they actually consult with Oklahoma State to make sure that that's the food that we wanted represented, or what's going on?
I don't know how that works. I mean, I don't really understand why it wasn't, Eskimo Joe's fries or like a Dirty Curdy or something. Like, I don't understand that. I'm trying to go through my phone and see if I can.
I just found it.
You found it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's rough.
That's interesting. I mean, I get it. Like, you can't have a full-size pizza at a basketball game, so you have to make it like, you know, what is this? 6-inch pie, maybe? Cut into 4 slices. They're just kind of like little wedges. It's, I guess, pretty similar to what you'd maybe see from if you got a pizza at Boone Pickens Stadium, but obviously it's dressed up a little bit more than that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to judge it based on the picture because, you know, food is based on taste, of course, as we know. But, yeah, it doesn't look like something I would want to order. I'll leave it at that.
I feel justified slightly, but I do get down with some.
I mean, how much, that looks nothing like anything that I've seen at Hideaway, to be fair.
I mean, facts, but you know, I like a little drama in my life, so I like to be dramatic. So that picture was perfect to state my case. When people are like, "How bad's a pizza in Oklahoma?" I'm like, "This is it. This is what I have to deal with." Yeah, but Eve. Bottom line, hope you're enjoying some Chicago deep dish because I'm a fan, even though Justin's not. I do enjoy it. But yeah. Another news, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It is officially happening, guys. Oklahoma State had another Friday night game added to their schedule. It will be our game against BYU on October 18th. First of 2 Friday road games this season. Good news though, Justin, is that this is played after our first bye week.
Yeah. So I guess the bye maybe helps a little bit. And if I remember correctly, BYU does not benefit from a bye in that time, but I'll stand behind it again, like Friday football games for college football. It's just not, it's not great. It's not a good look. I don't think it's a good look for the Big 12, especially whenever you have a team that is, I mean, call it what it is. We're a top 25 program consistently over the last 15 years. What other teams in that realm are playing Friday night football games and Thursday night for that matter? I don't think there's another team out there that has played more Thursday night or Friday football games than Oklahoma State. Are we voluntarily signing up for these slots? Is that what's happening? Like, we have several seasons in the past where we have a home opener on Thursday night, and it's like, I get it, we're itching for football season to start at that point, but let's stick with Saturdays. Like, this is just my thoughts. I know a lot of people feel the same way, like Friday night football. There's other stuff we got going on. So
I didn't mind the Thursday game 2 years ago against Central Michigan. Was it? It was Central Michigan.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. I didn't mind that one. 'Cause it's like week one, everyone's excited. I also had a bachelorette party that weekend, so I was flying to Florida for that. So it actually worked out really well for me that I was able to like watch the game on Thursday and then enjoy the bachelorette party that weekend, not wondering like, what's OSU doing, you know? So that was beneficial. And to kick off the season, I don't mind that week one, but yeah, I'm just like,
Hard part for us, it's like, we go to work all week. You leave early on Thursday, go to the game, come back. You're getting home late Thursday night, or maybe early Friday morning. And then you're going back to work on Friday. It's not fun.
The nice thing though about working at the university is that, so this past year, we got out of work early the Friday of the K-State game. And they're like, go enjoy the game. Really? They needed the parking of all the staff to like,
yeah,
please
get out, for sure. Yeah, get out of here. Yeah. Like,
enjoy your half day. So that's the nice thing, is that I get the perk of leaving work early for those reasons. So I don't have, I also, you know, I'm like right there. So I don't have that same thing. But yeah, overall, I was thinking to myself earlier, I was like, you know, this now frees up a Saturday and I can go do fun things. And I'm like, Meg, let's be real. If OSU plays on a Friday night, you're going to still watch the entire slate of Saturday football. Maybe not as intently. Maybe it's one of those things where I'm like, I'll go out to a bar and half pay attention. Because I'm a person, I don't like watching my teams at bars. I don't like it. Because I like to lock in. I like to yell at my TV. I like to be, you know, animated. So maybe this is something like, oh, you know what? I'll go to a bar and watch football on a Saturday and be social. But yeah, overall, I'm like, it's going to take up my Friday night, my Saturday day, and then Sunday for NFL.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Like, there's a lot of, you know, passion behind your team. So whenever there's a lot on the line, do you want to be around, you know, people at a bar? Like, one of the things though that was pretty cool for one time, Sheridan and I went to St. Louis on spring break, and it was March Madness happening, and we got to go to St. Louis Live, Fox Sports Live thing, and they had the game on. Like, it was just, people were just cheering for the underdog, right? Because that's what you do in March Madness. Like, your bracket's already busted. Might as well go for the underdog. Sheer chaos. Let's go. And yeah, that was a lot of fun because everybody there was just cheering on, you know, whoever was running it at the time, like Florida Gulf Coast University, probably around that era. And you're like, yeah, well, let's go. This is our squad. You know, where everybody's. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, I don't know that I could do that just so flippantly with Oklahoma State sports. You know, it's like, yeah, too much is on the line. I need to be there, focused, locked in.
I think going to a bar in Stillwater would obviously be fun because everyone's cheering for the Cowboys. So it would be fun in that aspect that, like, you're probably not going to have Baylor fans at a bar in Stillwater for that game. You know, like, they'd probably be at a bar in Baylor unless you have those random people who end up moving here for whatever reasons. But I remember, Justin, this was in the 25th, it was the Seahawks Patriots Super Bowl. And I was out in Arizona for the Super Bowl. I didn't go to the game, but I was out in Arizona with my friend who was like doing work out there, and I had a free hotel, whatever. So I'm like, I'll just go and I'll go to the parties and like watch the game, whatever. And we walk into this bar in Scottsdale and it's all Seahawks fans. Like, everyone, except for one table, like a table of 12 people. They were all together. They were Patriots fans. And they're like, you're coming to sit with us. Like, we walk in our Patriots hats, yeah, and everything. Like, you're coming to sit with us. And that game was such a roller coaster. And the final, like, possession of the Seahawks, when it's looking, you know, they're at the 2-yard line and 1-yard line, whatever there was. And you're looking, you're about to score. All the Seahawks fans are like freaking out. My friend and I are like, oh my God, this is the worst thing. And then as soon as Malcolm Butler had the interception, like, the script flipped. At the bar, and it was just like, like, this is just
one table freaking out. Everybody else just looking at you.
Yeah. And then, like, some of the nice Seahawks, like, no one was mean to us, but some of the fans were like, congratulations. Yeah. Good game. And I was like, thank God I'm on this end of that and not the other way around. But yeah,
that was a wild game.
It's crazy. So, but yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what I end up doing this year. For it would be fun. I do think aesthetically that this game will be sick, like a Friday night in Provo, Utah, under the lights with the mountains in the backdrop. Hopefully they can play around sunset so you get that great lighting on the mountains. Like, that is cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Oklahoma State, hopefully rocking some, let's see, white, orange. The orange numbers in that game, pretty predicting, you know, what we're going to see in those games. But BYU, rising in the ranks very quickly on how I feel about the uniforms in the Big 12, because they've got some great combos to work with.
Yeah. Well, should be. We'll see how it all shakes out. October 18th, but Justin, before we can get to fall football, our season, we got to get through spring ball, which, guys, it starts on Tuesday. Nice. Last
kind of getting closer.
We are kind of. I'm bummed there's not a spring game this year because it's like, I feel like the spring game would make it like, okay, here's our team this year. But there's not one. For those who are unaware, Boone Pickens Stadium is under construction again this offseason. They did the north side of it, I believe, last year. And now they're doing the south side of it, changing the seating up a little bit. So Boone Pickens is out of commission. I'm not sure if they're going to be doing anything. Like last year, they had kind of like a meet and greet with the players. I don't know if they're going to do anything this year. I haven't heard anything. That doesn't mean it's not happening. But last year, there was a lot of uncertainty around this team. We had no idea who the quarterback was going to be. Ollie Gordon was not Ollie Gordon yet. You know, we had a brand new defensive coordinator who had been here a month and a half, maybe 2 months. Justin, what are you most looking forward to seeing this time around with spring practices and what we might see develop over the few weeks that they happen?
Yeah, I think just having the juxtaposition as far as what you just described, what we had last year, not knowing a lot of stuff versus this year, we do know all of that. So kind of like what you're talking about, sad you can't see what the team looks like in, you know, our spring scrimmage or spring game, whatever you want to call it. We haven't had a real game in a while, it feels like. But yeah, we get to, this would be our chance to basically see what we kind of already know, at least, because like last year they have established themselves as the guys. And I guess what I would be most excited about would just be the player development, seeing how far guys have come since the last time we got to see them play football in the Texas Bowl. And you know, I think times are a little bit different now where Ollie, I think he does not care if it's a game or whatever. He's out there showing out, the greatest showman. And then we've also got Alan, the showman Bowman. But you know, those guys are out there having fun for those games. It used to be where you would kind of get that opportunity for the spring game. It's like, all right, let's let loose a little bit, have some fun in front of the crowd. There's no way for it to be interpreted as, you know, disrespectful to the other team. So you can just kind of let loose a little bit and have fun that way. So they're already doing that in games. It seems like you've got Ollie, you know, he's out there dancing to get the crowd fired up before Bedlam and things like that. So I love it. I would love to be able to see it for spring, but we'll just have to wait. We'll have to wait it out and we'll just enjoy it that much more whenever September comes around.
We got a couple guys from the transfer portal this offseason. You know, the one that comes to mind obviously is AJ Green, the running back from Arkansas. Not why are spring practices important, but like when it comes to, you know, fall camp is when they really lock in. It's intense practices. You're weeks away from the season. This, we're still 5-6 months out. So what is really the purpose of these spring practices for the players and the coaches?
You know, it's a kind of a combination of a lot of things that you just don't really get to see in the fall. So competition is a big deal. So whenever, you know, there's not necessarily, and this year might be a little bit different, but there's not necessarily always, you know, what's written in stone for the depth chart. And that competition adds to, you know, the player development and just being able to get reps with different groups of players and seeing different matchups, how well you can work with certain people. You can see the team chemistry and just being able to kind of develop that, and then see the coaches are able to evaluate that and then start to add in different schemes. And they're able to kind of assess different players' leadership abilities. Who are we going to be able to count on whenever we're in a game time situation? So all of that I feel like is really exciting, because, I mean, some of that stuff comes a little bit later, but you don't have as much of that, say, in October, for example, because you're focused on your game plan. You already know who your guys are. And if there are guys that are out due to injury. You got another guy that's basically coming and plugged in based on the competition that you saw in the spring. So, you know, there's still a lot on the line and a lot to work for. And I think everybody knows that. And it just breeds the excellence that you would want to see from everybody on your team. And it gets you excited.
Scale of 1 to 10. How worried are you that we are going to end spring practices in the middle of another quarterback competition?
How worried am I?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be really low, like a one. It was probably a zero before you asked it. Like, it was not something that I had on my mind at all. But now I feel like I have to say at least one, because maybe there's something that I don't know.
I mean, what if Flores is like incredible?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If he is, I think you just got to play him. Like,
that's how I feel.
But I mean, I'm not worried about it. From my perspective, it's like the only thing that can go wrong is you just keep Bowman in just because in that situation. And I don't necessarily know that they would do that. It's like, if Flores is the best guy, like, he's got to play. If Rangel's the best guy, he's got to play. It is what it is. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I can be worried about it, because I don't know what I don't know. Like, you know, I'm not at the practices. I don't get to see. It's like, Flores is out here just absolutely dominating and making Bowman look terrible. And then first game comes around and we're starting Bowman. It's kind of like, that's a disservice to the team and to the guys on the roster, to the fans, everything. So I can't see that happening. I'm at a one. I'm at a zero to one on the worried scale.
And I know nothing. That was purely that purely came from a place of like, could there be drama? I don't know. Like, I don't, because people, I mean, a few things that I read in like January is that Flores was looking pretty good. But yeah. I mean, if it ain't good, fix it. So
no, that is good. Like, I hope everybody's looking good. Yeah. And I hope everybody is, you know, really stepping up their competition, really stepping up their game, because in the event, God forbid, somebody goes down, you want to be able to plug the next guy in and not miss a beat.
What I think that they should do, because there is no spring game, and, you know, they're talking, you know, people talk about like NIL money, pokes with purpose, all that stuff. They should do like Pro Bowl style skills competition.
Yeah.
And do like a big field day on Saturday, like the last Saturday of spring practice or whatever, but you sell tickets. I know that the spring game was free, but you could sell different tiered tickets to people. So you can go in to the Sherman E. Smith Center and like watch it from the sidelines or something. And you'd have to sell tickets because there'd be a limited amount of stuff. But I think that could be really cool. And then the money could go to the NIL fund and the players and all of that.
Let's do it.
People
what's,
with power.
What's stopping us? Let's do it. Yeah.
I'll run it by my people in athletics tomorrow. I'll just give Sean McGuire a call. Be like, listen, I got an idea. But I really think like spring games, I think at the end of the day, like, I think it's kind of silly how they're broadcast on like ESPN and whatever. Like, I understand why they're broadcast on networks, because they need content to fill and people care about college football that much. But at the end of the day, like, I don't really care to watch Alabama's like crimson and white scrimmage. Like, I don't care about it. I think spring games are cool for the community, because not everyone can afford tickets, and I think they're free to get in, right? In the past, or like $5 or something. They're like super cheap.
Yeah. They're free at OSU. I think other universities might charge $5-$10.
Yeah, but I just think that it's like a really cool way for people to get in Boone Pickens Stadium, because there's a lot of people who have never been in the stadium. There's people who can't afford to see these guys play. I think that it's like, it is a bummer that the spring game isn't happening 2 years in a row from a community standpoint, because it's just like a fun way. It's like how people go to NFL training camps, because like that's their opportunity to get close to their favorite players. So I think that that's a loss and it's a bummer. So like, let's do a skills competition, you know, something fun.
I agree.
Dodgeball. offense versus defense. Let's do it. They do it in the NFL. Why can't we do it at Oklahoma State?
Yeah, talk about, you know, Flores, Rangel really can show out in a dodgeball competition.
Yes. Yes. I'm gonna call some people and see what I can do. The answer is nothing. I won't be able to do anything, but it's worth pitching.
Yeah.
Justin, last week we talked about Friday Night Lights, the movie, and great sports movies. And we said, we're going to get into that next week, meaning this week. And because we're light on Oklahoma State content, we're going to sit here and have a discussion about the best sports movies at all time. Justin, you had a bold statement last week. There were not enough good football movies.
Yeah. And, you know, I still feel that way, but my take is basically that the football movies are lacking in the general vicinity of all the other great sports movies out there. I feel like baseball, for whatever reason, has some of the top tier elite movies. But as far as football goes, Remember the Titans is elite. It's up there. It's one of the greatest sports movies of all time, period. Rudy, I think, is good. And then after that, I think there's a really big drop off. Like, out of football movies, what we're left with, Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
Which is average at best.
No.
We Are Marshall.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Waterboy. I mean, like,
Little Giants.
Jerry Maguire. Okay, Little Giants is kind of like, nostalgia would definitely play a big part in that. As far as like a good sports movie, is it really like, I mean, it's good. I need to go back and watch it because I remember it being so great as a kid. But I wonder if that's like, I go back and watch it and I'm like, what did I think was so good about this movie? I don't know. But I know a lot of people bring up The Blind Side. I didn't like that. Like, I know this is just like opinions, but I just think that, yeah, football movies, as far as football movies go, they're just kind of like, yeah, one, maybe two. And then after that, there's a big drop off for me.
I don't like Rudy. I think it's incredibly overrated.
Why?
I don't think it's good. And if I had to choose my favorite genre of movies, like, sports movies might be number one. Like, I love a good sports movie. Remember the Titans? Can't touch it. Top tier for sure. I couldn't get into Rudy. I did not enjoy it at all. I think it's overrated. And I think Remember the Titans, we already talked about that. Friday Night Lights is phenomenal. And the soundtrack, like,
Friday Night Lights, I mean,
I don't know.
It's like almost like too depressing for me. For a football movie, I just want it to be like that. Like, I like the show, all right. Like, I think that we were talking to Eve about that. And there's a clarification for that. Last week, he had not seen Friday Night Lights. He was talking about the show. He has seen the movie, but in my opinion, the show is better. Which it's hard to compare because it's like
they're very different.
One movie versus five seasons of a TV show. Can't really compare that, but yeah. I don't know. For the movie, I'm just kind of like, eh.
I think what I love about Friday Night Lights is the ending. Because they don't win the game.
Terrible.
I don't know.
Why would you like that?
Because it's real.
But it's real depressing.
Right. But it's like, you know, like that.
I don't want to. Terrible feeling. Terrible.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I understand that, but as a sports fan, we've all been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have, you know, as Oklahoma State fans, we've literally been in that spot where our team comes up a yard short. And I think that, you know, the part of me, like, though, on the one hand, like, you want your team to win in the movies. It's like, I want the predictable ending. I want that. But I think it's also like, it's real life that you're not going to win every single time. And it just like, it tugs at your heartstrings, but it's still just like such a realistic movie that the good guys don't always prevail. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit different for me. I feel like, so Rocky, for example, another great sports movie, he loses that fight to Apollo Creed at the end of the movie, but you still have a very big sense of accomplishment because nobody believed that he'd be able to last in the ring with this guy. So it was like a moral victory. Whereas in Friday Night Lights, you got this team that's supposed to win it all. They're expected to win it all. And then they fall a yard short, essentially, and they don't win it. And it's kind of like, yeah, it stinks. And I feel bad for you, but not that bad because you're not really like an underdog overcoming the odds. You happen to lose one of the best running backs in the nation. And, you know, that ended up kind of being the thing that kept you from winning it all. I don't know. It's just, eh.
Fair. I'm a Friday Night Lights fan. I really like it. For as much as I love sports movies and being where I'm from, confession, I've never seen Rocky. And whoa. I kind of refuse to watch it at this point because it genuinely annoys me how the city of Philadelphia acts as though Rocky was real. And I'm like, this man does not exist. He is not real. And like the statue in front of the art museum, like the line to take a picture with that statue is insane. And I'm like, he doesn't exist. He was never a real thing. And that's my hot take.
Well, you should definitely check it out though.
We'll see. I've seen all three Creeds because you know how I love Michael B. Jordan.
Sure. Sure. Friday Night Lights reference again. But yeah, I don't know. Joel Klatt actually had done some of this on a podcast recently. He talked about The Program. It's a movie from 1993. He's like, the best football movie. And I have not seen this movie. But I went and watched the trailer based off of his suggestion, at least. And I was not moved or motivated at all to watch it. So time will tell. But I'm skeptical. I don't know, Joel. I don't know that I can get on board with this yet.
Well, my favorite sports movie of all time is Miracle.
A good one.
That is my, and I, there was the year it came out, probably like the summer of 2004 or 2005. I forget which, it came out in 2004, I think it was. But one summer I literally watched it like every day for a month. Like it was insane how like I knew Herb Brooks' speech. Like I was obsessed with that movie. And as a field hockey player, which is very different from ice hockey, I understand that, but close and you know, like there are parallels. That was like my motivation. Like we watched that before our like district games and, you know, before big games for motivation. I love that movie. And you know how it ends, but every time the Soviet Union like gets that one shot and the call's like, and knocked away by Craig, where Jimmy Craig saves the shot, I get nervous every time. And I know it doesn't go in, but I'm like, oh my God, is this what I'm going to change? But God, I love that movie so, so much. It's just iconic.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Good one. Yeah, that is my favorite. I also would throw in there, you mentioned baseball movies, Sandlot. Classic. Yes. Love the Sandlot.
Sandlot might be my favorite, actually. It might be my all-time favorite sports movie.
It's so good. It's definitely up there for me. And I love A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
I was a Rockford Peach for Halloween one year. My mom made my costume. It was
nice.
Good stuff. What are some other ones that I had listed that are good? Mighty Ducks, another good one.
Yeah, similar to like the Little Giants. Yes. I remember as a kid loving the Mighty Ducks, and I haven't watched it in probably 25 years. But what I remember from it was, yeah, this is an awesome movie.
So after I watched Miracle for the first time, obviously D2 the Mighty Ducks is like loosely inspired by Miracle. And So it's so funny to go back and watch D2 after watching Miracle. You're like, wait a second. Like, these are the parallels. These are like the things that are similar. But then you're like, there is no way that you would have a United States team made up of 20 kids from Minnesota and then 5 kids from 4 other states. Like, it's just, it's so unrealistic and so corny, but I still love it.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So far we've got the Sandlot. With the Sandlot, I struggle on the Sandlot. Does it count as kind of like a,
it's like a
nostalgic childhood memory for me. So I guess I don't want to consider it like the same category as like Little Giants.
No.
Cause it's like, it's not really a kid movie.
I think the Sandlot plot holds up better as an adult, like because you go back and you watch movies. Like, I think I went back and I watched The Big Green a couple months ago. Remember The Big Green?
Yeah.
The soccer team.
No, like, great, like kid movie. Great. Yeah. Kid sports movie.
Right. But like, I'm like,
so yeah, I agree. Sandlot would not fit in this.
No.
But Mighty Ducks would. Little Giants would. Space Jam probably.
Oh, Space Jam. God, how did I forget that? That's such a good one.
Those are all great like sports movies for kids. And it's like, how blessed were we? Growing up, like that's so good. Those are so great. Okay,
but yeah,
go ahead. So what else did you have?
Well, so I mean, those are like my main ones. I had on my list. Oh, I do like Coach Carter.
Yeah,
I like Coach Carter. I think Coach Carter is a very good movie. So those were my top ones. But I was going to ask you, Justin.
I need to rewatch Coach Carter.
I haven't watched it in so long, but. So good. And that's when I first saw Channing Tatum and I was like, hello, Channing Tatum. but loved Coach Carter. If they were to make a movie.
Oh, wait. I gotta throw in one more.
Sorry.
Because we did not touch on this one. Moneyball is one of the best movies.
So long.
Any genre. And it's like, of course, a sports movie. It might be. I mean, it has slowly moved from, oh, this is like a good movie too. I rewatch this annually and it might be a top 5 movie of all time for me.
That's with Brad Pitt about the A's, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm making sure I have seen that. It's been a while since I've seen it, but that is a good movie.
It's so good. I love it. I don't know what it is, but it just keeps getting better every time I watch it.
Yeah. I'll have to watch it again just to like refresh.
And then Major League, another good baseball movie. Fever Pitch is actually really funny.
Fever Pitch is, yeah, that's good. Okay.
And it's a good rom-com surrounded around baseball. And what else am I missing? You said Miracle. Rocky IV is my favorite of the Rockies.
Okay.
And then if we want to consider it, a sport, I guess it would be, it has to be, I guess, but like, cause it's an auto motorsport, but Ford v Ferrari is, okay. It's a sleeper movie. It's like low key, a great movie from the Le Mans in the 60s, Ford versus Ferrari. So you got to check that out.
Yeah. So I have lots to add to my viewing list. Some of these, I just want to go watch again because I just have not seen them in forever and they're so good. But what I was going to ask you, Justin, if they were to make a movie on the 2011 Oklahoma State Cowboys, who would play you?
So this is like a weird way to answer the question. Cause like, if I'm thinking of a doppelganger, it's somebody older than me and they would not play me from 2011.
Well, let's say like,
so it'd be weird, but I can't think of any young actors to be able to answer that question specifically like that. But if I had a doppelganger, I think everybody has to go with Jason Sudeikis, especially whenever I have a mustache. I look like Ted Lasso.
Yes. See, this was too obvious for me because I think it was because I had sports movies in my mind. But like, I think that you just gave me like Ryan Gosling, Sunshine, Remember the Titans vibes.
Okay. So I'm a liability at corner. I see how it is. Okay.
But Jason Sudeikis, but yeah, I mean, if you could go.
I was thinking more like Ryan Gosling, Crazy Stupid Love vibes, but okay, fine, sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could pick an act. I'll go with Jason Sudeikis and we'll just pretend that the movie was made when he and you were both younger.
Yeah,
but
that'll work.
Eve said Derek Luke for doppelganger reasons as well. And
Scott, y'all have to
Booby
Google,
Miles.
Google that guy. Like a picture of Eve comes up.
So if you've seen Friday Night Lights, the movie, he's Booby Miles in Friday Night Lights, the movie. And I could like picture Booby Miles, but I don't think I ever clicked that his name was Derek Luke in real life. And then I Googled him and I was like, what? And the way he looks in Friday Night Lights, like he has the flat top and he just looks different than Eve in that moment. But Google him and you'll be like, holy crap, that is Eve.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. Who would you have play Coach Gundy?
Okay. So we were actually just talking about the Mighty Ducks, but like Emilio Estevez is the coach in that. And I think they look so similar.
It's actually a really good call. I was thinking about that last night too. I was like,
If anybody's not familiar with that, like, think of The Breakfast Club. So he's in that. Like, I feel like everybody knows that.
Yeah. I was low key thinking like Robert Downey Jr.
Oh yeah. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. Who would you have? And if we were talking about like Ironman. If they did a story on Oklahoma State, who would you have play Barry?
Ooh, man, who could play Barry?
I have my answer.
Barry. You should just cast his son, Barry Jr., right?
I would, and I'm talking in their prime. Like, if we can make this movie when this actor was younger and in their prime, I would say Cuba Gooding Jr.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Be good.
Yeah. So, yeah, let us know who you would cast as some of these people. But who would you have play like Blackman or Whedon?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a little bit tougher. Blackman. All these people are like so old. I don't even know. Like, can you even have like the same physique? Like maybe Don Cheadle. He kind of has like a similar, maybe like facial features to Blackman. Maybe. Why do I? Maybe not. Justin's probably like, man, what are you? If Justin, if you're listening, if that's offensive to you, I'm sorry. Like, I think he's a great actor, so I'm just going to throw him out there. But you know what? Just throw in Anthony Hill. Anthony Hill, you could play Justin Blackman. You'd be great at him. So.
Oh my God, that'd be so funny. I'm just thinking of Black actors who are also somewhat athletic and
I'm like Don Cheadle. He's not probably the most athletic guy, but
he's not big enough. He's not tall enough, I don't think, but, I've just been thinking of like, who could do it? I'm thinking Daniel Ezra from, All American. He plays, Spencer mm-hmm. James. If you watch All American, like he plays a wide receiver on that show. He could play Justin Blackman. He plays like an All American wide receiver.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I haven't actually watched that show, but I've seen bits of that show.
I love that show.
Michael B. Jordan, he could do it. He's an athletic freak. I know it's a cop out.
It's such a cop out. It's okay. I'm pulling Daniel Ezra up, and we'll see if you can. This is not. I need to like have him. Okay, here we go. So here he is as like.
Yeah.
You got him?
Yeah, Daniel. He could work.
Yeah.
This is some of the things that like that we like to joke about the actors that are throwing a football in some of these movies. You can tell that they're not athletes. The way that he's holding this football gives me a little bit more of like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, hopefully. It's just a picture, but it's like, yeah, this is looking better.
Yeah.
So
I'll have to think on Whedon, on who could play.
Oh yeah. Totally forgot about Whedon. Cause I got
like, because have you seen, American Underdog, the Kurt Warner movie? Yeah. Like
Zachary Levi.
Yeah. Like that casting was so bad. Like I could not believe him
to be Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Actually, Kurt Warner is like kind of a doppelganger for me. I've seen like whenever he played for the Arizona Cardinals, there was a picture of him. I had it like as a profile picture on my Facebook for a while because I was like, dude, we look like the exact same. Not so much anymore, I don't think, but.
Yeah. And he's not an actor. So I need to, now I'm like stumped on Whedon. All of a sudden I ask these questions and I forget every actor who's ever existed.
It's tough. Yeah.
Ever. But I don't know. We'll think about it. And we'll let you know.
Whedon's like shouting at the radio right now. It's this person. I'm like,
well, Whedon, text Justin, let us know who would play you. But yeah, well, if you're still with us through all of this,
people are so tuned out. Like, oh.
we appreciate you, but really quickly, before we wrap this up, it's the NCAA Wrestling Championships this weekend, kicking off today as this episode's airing, the 21st through the 23rd. I want nothing more than Dayton Fix and Dustin Plott to win national titles. I would love the Cowboys to win it all. Everyone's saying that, you know, it's a race for second because Penn State has this locked in. So Cowboys, wrestle the matches of your lives and bring banner 35 home to Stilly.
Let's do it. The time is now.
Yeah, cool. Well, we appreciate all you bearing with us on our sports movie thing. Let us know your favorite sports movies in the comments.
And peak off season.
What?
Peak off season content.
Peak off season. But guys, spring football kicks up in 5 days, 4 days, 5 days. So hopefully we get some practice updates. I'm hoping I might be able to swing by some of these practices and get some inside information. We'll see how that schedule shakes out. But yeah, I'm excited because football's kind of back. But we appreciate you all bearing with me and Justin. And let us know your favorite sports movies and why our opinions are wrong in the comments.
Yeah.
But and maybe Eve will be back next week. I don't know, but it'll be a surprise to all of us. Well, that's it for this episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. He's Justin. I'm Meg. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.